You know, that didn't just happen because it's Pentecost. That happened because God loves all of us. That's why. And when you contend for God to speak to you, He will speak to you. If you contend for God to touch you, He'll touch you. If you contend for God to heal you, He will heal you. If you contend for God to purify you, He will purify you. God's Word says if you ask in His name, He's going to give to you, right? And you got to know the will of God because He wants to bless you with the will of God. Don't just pray for dumb things, man. Don't pray for selfish things. You got to pray the will of God. And when you pray the will of God, God's desire is that you have the will of God. Right? Not only in your life, but through your life. God's going to use you, church, in a supernatural way. But you got to get filled with the Spirit. You can't do it on your own. This ain't just about knowledge. I'm going to preach in a second, but I want to preach for a moment, okay? Listen, why do you think Jesus said... Right? I don't even know what I'm going to say. Why do you think Jesus said in the Bible, He said, wait, right? So He, by the way, I'm Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. Okay, got that out of the way. So move that on. But if we read in the book of Acts, we realize that, see, Jesus, He died on the cross and He set us free, right? He rose from the grave, and that's why we're here today. It don't matter your background. It don't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter your mindsets. It doesn't matter if you're left coast, west coast, Midwest. It don't even matter. It don't matter if you're not from this country. You can go into other countries with other people groups, and we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus is the unifier. Jesus is the unity. He brings us all together. And in that, what He did was, when He died on the cross, rose from the grave, He showed Himself for 40 days. 40 days He showed Himself to a whole bunch of believers. Remember when He popped into the room and He went through the room and He didn't even use the door, right? He used the wall, and all the disciples were hiding and like, oh, whoa. And He said, hey, I'm Jesus. And Thomas goes, I won't believe it unless I put my hands in the spots where the nails were and put my hands where it pierced your side. And then He touched him. He said, oh, Lord, that is my Savior. At that moment, they were like, woo. And then He said, He breathed on them and He said, receive the Holy Spirit. But He also told, and He went around to many, many believers for 40 days, church, 40 days. He went around and showed Himself with His resurrected body. And while He went around and He showed Himself with His resurrected body, right about 40 days, He did give us the Great Commission. But before that, He said, why don't you go into the city of Jerusalem, and I want you to wait from the promise of the Father. I want you to wait for the infilling of the Spirit of God. I want you to wait. He told that to 500 people. And how many after 10 days? So then He ascended to heaven. Whoop! Right? I don't know how it happened, but it was probably pretty awesome. And He's like, right? And where is He at right now? He's at the right hand of the Father. He's at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. And He's waiting for His Father to say, all right, go clean up that mess. And He's going to send Him in His second coming. But so 40 days He was speaking to all the believers, and then He ascended to heaven, and 500 people went to the city to wait for power from on high. And there was 50 of them for 10 days. And how many remained? Anybody know? After 10 days. 120. 380 people, I guess, had something else to do. They wanted to do something outside of what God said you need to have. Have you ever thought about this? Before any miraculous, incredible ministry happened without Jesus, Jesus asked them to go and wait for the promise from on high. Have you ever thought about that? And why do you think that happened? Why do you think Jesus said, hey, before I send you out into the world, before I have you, you know, cast out demons and heal the sick and raise the dead, before I have you even preach one message by yourself, I want you to go to the city and the word tarry or wait from the power from on high. Why do you think Jesus did that? Here's why I think. We have a lot of thoughts. Because Jesus knows we can't do it. What He's called us to do, the Great Commission, we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. 380, I don't know what percent that is, but it's pretty high. 380 are doing it without the Holy Ghost. 120 we're doing with the Holy Ghost. And I'm about to read in a second what happens when you do things with the power from on high. When you wait and you follow the leading of God, what happens, right? Peter, man, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, I'll just tell you, when they're filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter walks out. And he just, all these people are like, oh, they're crazy and they're drunk. He's like, we ain't drunk. It's 9 a.m. You crazy. It's too early to get drunk. Right? All the winos aren't even drunk. They're going to get drunk later. Right? It's 9 a.m. We ain't drunk. We're filled. And he says, we did what Joel, the prophet, said, you know, thousands of years ago. We are filled with the Spirit of God, just like he prophesied would happen. And then he preached a message. Right? Not to mention, people were speaking with other tongues in the languages of all the people that they didn't even know. Because a whole bunch of people came to Jerusalem speaking all different kinds of languages. And they were speaking in tongues and they were giving messages and prophecies. And these people are like, how do you know my native tongue? And you are preaching to me the good news of Jesus in my native tongue. And then Peter preaches a message. And 3,000 people get saved that very moment. I mean, absolutely incredible. Church, here's what I'm saying this morning. You can try to do what Jesus said to do, but Jesus himself said, don't do it unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit. So a lot of people are still trying to do things in their own power, and that's why they keep failing. And a lot of people try to do it in their own strength and their own mindsets, and they don't have the power from on high, and that's why they keep failing. But I'm thankful for Pentecost. Because of Pentecost, we can do it in the power of God. This is not me preaching. This is the power of God preaching to you today. If I did it out of my own strength and my own wisdom and of my own knowledge, it'd be lame. And it'd be all intellectual. But Jesus said that he wants rivers of living water to flow out of your belly, right? And it's going to bring living water to people. You can be intellectual. That's fine. But if that's all that you are, you're going to dry up. You're going to be boring. Ain't nobody going to believe you. There are a lot of beliefs in this world. But when you demonstrate with power from the Holy Spirit, people will take notice. Jesus, he instructed God's people to do that before he even sent them to the world. So why do we think we wouldn't need the power of the Holy Spirit? He instructed us, that's what we need. But too many people are walking this life and they're not Spirit-filled. And they wonder why they keep failing and falling into the same sins, full of all the fear. They don't even know what's going on. It's because you ain't full of the Holy Ghost. But today is an opportunity, if you're in the house today, to be filled with the power of God. Let me teach you some things here this morning. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Phenomenal. Amen. So this morning we're going to conclude our series titled Miraculous. This amazing series. Man, we've been praying for a fresh outpouring of God's Spirit. We've also been learning how the miraculous power of God is still available to those who still believe. Any believers in the air here? Put your hand in the air like you care. Hey, right? Believers, it's time to start believing. Amen. The miracles of the Bible, they still happen today. The sick are healed. I've seen it. I've been a part of it. The oppressed set free. I've seen it. I've been a part of it. The broken restored. I've seen it. I've been a part of it. And dead things have been resurrected and they want to be resurrected. Do you believe in miracles, church?
Yes.
The Bible teaches us that all things are possible to those who believe. Mark 9:23 says, what do you mean if I can? Jesus is like, remember I said this last week? Psh, you kidding me? Come on now. What do you mean if I can? Please. Jesus asked. He said, anything is possible if a person believes. See, that don't make any human sense, but that makes heavenly sense. That makes biblical sense. How can a mustard seed move a mountain? Because it ain't in your strength. It's in your faith. It's his strength through your faith that moves mountains. Come on now. I was free this morning. Praise God. Church, I'm going to skip some pages here. Today is a very special Sunday. It's Pentecost Sunday. In my opinion, it is the third most important Sunday for a Pentecostal church. It should be every church, in my opinion. You got Easter, you got Christmas, and you got Pentecost. That's what I believe. Pentecost Sunday is also known as the birthday of the church. So happy birthday, church. You're about 2,000 years old. Y'all getting wrinkly. Praise the Lord. And it wasn't the bath. Hallelujah. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he said this to his followers in Luke 24:49. He says, And now I'll send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city till the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. That's Luke 24:49. Church, the world was changed forever because of the promise from heaven that Jesus spoke about. God sent his Holy Spirit on Pentecost. So who is the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of God is mentioned over 800 times in the Bible. Say 800.
800.
That's a lot. The first time the Spirit of God is mentioned is in the second verse in the very first book, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, or the Spirit of God, is the third person of the Trinity, the triune God, manifested as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a lesser God than Jesus or the Father. Right? A lot of times we think, well, there's rankings and there's, you know, they have different positions. They have different callings. They have different authorities. They have different things that they do for us, but that is God. He is God. The Holy Spirit is God. He's not some mystical force that we're like, oh, it's like, you know, you will serve God. You will not cause problems and keep Pastor Harris up at night. You will grow in maturity and love each other and share everything that you have and do what the Bible says. And you will not bicker anymore. Right? That's not how it works. See, the Holy Spirit is God in you and God in the earth today. Pentecost Sunday is one of my favorite Sundays of all. See, Pentecost Sunday always comes 7 weeks after Passover weekend, 7 weeks after Easter weekend. It's also known as Shabbat. Pentecost in Greek means 50. It's nothing real fancy. It's just 50 days ago, Jesus rose from the grave, and that weekend took place where Jesus died, and he was in the grave, and then he rose again, and Pentecost means 50. See, after Jesus was resurrected on Easter Sunday, he showed himself to his disciples and many other followers for 40 days, like I said before he ascended into heaven at the right hand of the Father. Approximately 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened to the 120 believers, the ones that stayed in the city in the upper room. After the 120 were filled with the Spirit of God and Peter preached boldly, 3,000 plus people came to Christianity. They became what we now know as the modern day church. We are here today because what happened that day. You know what's cool is when they were speaking other tongues, like I said before, many of them were speaking different languages. And what happened there, right? We always send missionaries out and we send them to different locations. At that moment where the Holy Spirit poured out and they spoke with other tongues, God was interpreting exactly what needs to be said. And he was speaking to all these people in Jerusalem from all these different regions and nations. And he was speaking God's truth. And it says they received Jesus as their Savior. And at that moment, the gospel spread all over the world. I didn't realize that until this week when I was studying. I was like, you know what? Yes, Paul went out and other people went out and they preached the gospel all over the region. But at the moment of Pentecost, when the church was birthed, there was people all over from different places, different languages, different regions, and probably even different countries that heard the message, received Jesus, and then went to their countries and started telling about this Jesus. Isn't that cool? I never caught that before. You'll have to read about it this week in Acts chapter 2. Let's read just part of it right now. Will you open your Bibles up to Acts chapter 2? So the New Testament starts with what we call the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are people that write about the life of Jesus. And right after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you have the book of Acts. And this is the beginning of the church. It's really powerful and amazing. It's when Jesus ascended to heaven, like we heard, people were filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then what happened after that? The birth of the church. So Acts chapter 2. So if you open your Bible, it's probably 3/4 of the way there. You'll be real close to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read the first 21 verses so we can see what happened on that day. Okay? If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
Praise God. If you're not, catch up. Or read behind me. All right. On the day of Pentecost, all believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like to be flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone, every single one of them present, was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, they were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem, like I said. When they heard the loud noise, everyone kept running out, and they were bewildered to hear their own language being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Then it lists, here we're from, and there's a whole bunch of places that they're from. Then if you jump down to verse 11, and we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. Verse 12. They stood there amazed and perplexed. Come on, there's going to be people coming in the house all over, not only First Open Bible, but other places. They're going to come and they're going to stand and they're going to be amazed and perplexed at what is going on. And they're going to be led to the Spirit of, they're going to be led to Jesus by the powerful Spirit of God and what people are doing in the house of God, just like this day. Verse 12, they stood there amazed and perplexed. What I just did there was prophesied, by the way. What can this mean? They asked each other. Verse 13. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, man, they're just drunk, that's all. See, that's what people do when they don't understand what's going on, especially spiritual things. What I don't get, now I love sports, and last night, I don't know if you watched that game, that basketball game, that was a crazy ending, insane. My wife and I were both like, did that go in? I can't even believe it, right? So there's these, all right, yeah, Boston, what's up, Boston, over there? Okay, so... there's all these, I don't know if you've ever been to a game before, people dress up, they're crazy, they're yelling and screaming, they're acting like they know the people on the field, they haven't even ever even met them, right? They're wearing all this gear, they're getting crazy, they face paint, they belly paint, they dress up, dress down, they look like clowns, and they're crazy, and then they ridicule people in church because they worship and sing and dance to the Savior of the world, right? That's just like this. Since I don't understand it, I think I'll make fun of it. Or I'll logically use my worldly mind to understand spiritual things. It'll never work. It'll never work. Verse 14. Then Peter stepped forward. Why I said that was this. Don't be discouraged when somebody mocks you for what you believe in Jesus. Amen. The Bible says that they will never understand unless they come to the knowledge of Christ. They'll never understand you. They'll never understand the things that you go through. They'll never understand the things that you believe in until they come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So just like this, sometimes you got to speak up, man. We need some more Peters in that house. Come on now. Then Peter stepped forward and said, psh, nah, just playing, with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about it. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. Now what you see was predicted long ago from the prophet Joel. And he speaks the prophecy that happened with Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and the old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and the signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The suns will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah. With every head bowed and eyes closed right now, is there anybody in the house today that says, I need to give my life to Jesus? I need to give my life to Jesus. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. If that's you today, will you raise your hand? What must I do to be saved? Is there anybody in the house today who wants to give their life to Jesus? I see that hand. Rededicate their life to Jesus. I see that hand. Hallelujah. So anybody in the house today that says, I need Jesus. Listen, you can't be filled with the Spirit of God until you have Jesus as your Savior. That's the order God put it in. You got to be saved before you're filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Is there anybody in the house today that says, I need Jesus in my life? I see that hand. Hallelujah. I see that hand. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. All heads up, please. Not heads up, seven up. That sounded like it, didn't it? By the way, just look at the shoes. That's how you win that game. Anyway, welcome. If you rose your hand and you gave your life to Christ, come find me before the end of the service. Or Rick, where are you at? Rick Enyard, will you stand, please? Will you come find Rick? He wants to give you some information. He wants to pray with you. And if you need a Bible, I want to give you a Bible. But it's very important that you give your life to Jesus and that you say a salvation prayer. So I'm going to have everybody repeat after me in a moment. So that way I want you to be included in that. But also, it needs to be a personal thing that you have done in your life. So I want you to come to me or Rick before you leave today. So with every head bowed, eyes closed, will you just repeat after me? Lord Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life. It says in your word, if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and he was raised from the dead, I shall be saved. So I recognize right now that is true. Take my life, take my mind, take my heart. It is yours. I want to live for you. And no longer myself. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let's keep reading, church. Let's go down to verse 37. We're going to go to 41. So then Peter goes on and he preaches this amazing message. And this is what it says right after he preached this tiny little powerful sermon. Peter's words were piercing to hearts. And they said to him, and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. By the way, we have a baptism thing coming up very soon in July. And we're going to go out and have a giant celebration. If you want to be baptized in water and have never done that before, please call the church office. We would love for you to join that. It is a massive celebration. Let's keep reading. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, verse 39. This promise is to you, your children, and those far away, that's us, and all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly. So those people that get mad for preaching, that, see, he was even Pentecostal. He's going to preach a long time, praise God. Strongly urging all his listeners, save yourself from this crooked generation. Verse 41, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Praise God. Amen. The birth of the church, the first Pentecost. Okay, now let's just read this last little part. Now, we're going to learn what happens after that. After that event, then we have the birth of the church, and this is what it says in verse 42. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. This Wednesday night, we have food together. The Bible says, do it. We're going to do it, right? We're going to eat some chicken, some fried chicken. We're going to eat a whole bunch of side dishes. And all you sweet ladies making the sweet desserts, praise God. And we're going to bring our stretchy pants in the name of Jesus. We're going to have a great time. 6:30 Wednesday night, stretchy pants are welcome. Hallelujah. Verse 43, get back on it. A deep sense of awe came over them. Run in place while you eat. That's how you get away with it. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and their possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. You cannot be stingy and be a Christian, okay? If you are a stingy person, you do not know the heart of God. He gave his one and only son. He gave it all. If you're stingy, get your life right. Okay, verse 47. All the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. That is the birth of the church. So, Pastor, what is Pentecostalism? Man, we would look at the roots of Pentecostalism. Many look to Azusa Street Revival in the early 1900s. I remember learning about that when I was in Bible college back in Eugene, Oregon. But actually, the roots can be traced back much further than that revival. It can be traced back to the holiness movement in the Methodist Church. But honestly, church, we should all actually go back, all the way back to the day that I just read about 2,000 years ago when God poured out his Spirit, 120 were filled, Peter preached, and God built his church. Pentecostalism is a Protestant charismatic Christian movement that emphasizes the direct personal experience of God through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The purpose of Pentecost is to remind every Christian, even though Christ died for our sins through our prayer, our faith, and our lifetime of surrender to the risen Savior, there's something else each one of us needs to do. We need to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to receive God's power from heaven so we can be filled with the portion that God has given us to fulfill the great commission that we are all called to do. Now, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is essential and vital to our mission in Christ. Alan cannot do it, what he's been called to do, without the power of the Holy Spirit. See, it's the power to do something outside of ourselves, outside of our own sinful nature. Let me tell you, church, you cannot have a Spirit-led life without the Spirit of God. We need to be Spirit-filled to be Spirit-led. You cannot do anything miraculous without the power of the Holy Ghost. First Open Bible Church in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. We are a Pentecostal church. We celebrate today the power from on high. We celebrate a greater degree of God's manifest presence in our lives through being baptized with power and with fire. We as Pentecostals believe that God wants to meet us personally each and every day of our lives. Every day God wants to meet with you. And you should desire to meet with him. And he wants to guide us in a Spirit-led life to further his kingdom, to truly bring heaven on earth. Just like Jesus said, here on earth as it is in heaven. Now, Pentecostals believe that the first Pentecost happened 2,000 years ago in the upper room is not the only time that God wants to fill his people with his presence. Anybody ever been filled with his presence before? Put your hand in the air. I think I got a witness. Hey, I got a witness. If you're a witness, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God has filled me to completion. He wants to keep filling your church over and over and over and over again. There's a work to be done. We believe the Holy Spirit fills and refills his children whenever they ask. And we see that in Scripture in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul said it this way to the Ephesians church. See, this was after the 120 were filled with the Spirit of God. This was many years after. And this is what the Apostle Paul said to the Ephesian church in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. He says, don't be drunk with wine, because that's going to ruin your life. True. Quit getting drunk. It's ruining your life. Nobody says, man, I wish I got more drunk in my life. It brought a lot of great things, right? You keep worshiping that porcelain God by bowing to it and throwing up in it. Maybe you should do this. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul told us 2,000 years ago to do that. That's wise. Now, there's approximately 500 million Pentecostals around the world today. They make up more than 25% of all Christians worldwide. Some studies show that Pentecostalism is actually the fastest growing religion in the world. I think that's because people want to know that God is real. Not just hear that God is real, but experience and witness that our God is actually real. And he loves us today, and he wants to pour out his Spirit upon us, and we want to contend for signs, wonders, and miracles. We want to do what Jesus actually did. We want to do things like Peter and the disciples did that day and watch the church grow. Because, church, God is real. And he's working in the world today. And his number one plan A is this. He works through his church. That's how it works. Put them on speaker. They need to hear this. I like that ringtone. Hey, Miss Marilyn, you got to get up and now preach the rest. It's all good. It's all good. We love you. We love you, Miss Marilyn. You're awesome. Put them on speaker, though. They need to hear this. So some of y'all are asking this question. Hey, Pastor, is there a difference of being saved, being baptized in water, and being baptized in the Holy Spirit? The answer is absolutely 100% yes. There is a difference. Here's just one example. After Pentecost, the gospel of Jesus spread throughout the land. There's this people group called the Samaritans. They lived in Samaria, which was a place that was close to Jerusalem, but it was a little bit off. And they already received Jesus, and they had water baptism. But they have not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet. See, Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 16 says this. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Why? Because, verse 16, the Holy Spirit had yet not come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's six chapters later, after the outpouring. Peter and John prayed for them, laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And this came after salvation. That's why you need to be saved before you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. By the way, if you said that prayer a little bit ago, the Bible says that you are now saved. But that's just the beginning. A prayer is just the beginning. If all you've said a prayer, all you've ever done is say a prayer and live the way you want to live, you are not saved. You're not. According to the Word of God, you are not saved. Anyone who meets Jesus, changes their life, and follows Jesus, that's somebody who's saved. But it starts with a prayer, right? As soon as you pray, there's a thing called consecration, dedication to the Lord. There's sanctification, big church words. AKA what that means is the moment you say that prayer, you need to follow Jesus and he's going to clean you up. You come as you are. He loves you enough that he wants you to look more like his son Jesus. So as you follow him, you get in his word, get into a church, get around some people that love Jesus, get some real friends that tell you when you're out of line. Okay, that's a real friend. Say, I love you enough to tell you you're out of line. Bad friends are ones that always tell you everything's great when they're not. That's a bad friend, right? It's biblical. Book of Proverbs talks about it. But you need those things in your life. And as you do that and as you follow Jesus, he's going to take you to places you have never been before. Let me tell you, I ain't the same person that I was once before. And I'm thankful for the power and the presence of the Almighty God in my life. He has cleaned me up and he's still cleaning me. My wife says he's still got some work to do. Amen. Right? Can I get a testimony? Hey, see? That's the highest her hand went up all week. She almost danced, I think. I don't know. But y'all know what I mean, right? Nobody's perfect, but we serve the perfect one. But you got to be saved before you are filled with the Spirit of God. See, it's one thing to be saved and born again in Jesus' name. It's a whole other thing when you're endued with power from on high or baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus holds the keys to our salvation. He holds the keys to our freedom. But the power of the Holy Spirit is what kicks open the door of the jail. You can live your Christian life in your own strength and understanding. Or you can ask God to fill you with power from on high and live a Spirit-filled life full of boldness. Some of y'all are afraid because you ain't full of the Holy Ghost. If you're full of God, there is no fear that will cripple you. If you are full of the Holy Ghost, there ain't nobody standing in front of you that you cannot speak to. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, there ain't nobody in your presence or in your realm of influence that will not feel the power and the presence of God. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you will fulfill the Great Commission. You will do what God called you to. You will fulfill those things and those plans and that purpose that Jeremiah talks about. But you got to be filled first. You got to be filled. You can do it in your own power, but you're going to fail a lot. But if you're full, you're not walking in your own power and your own strength and in your own mind anymore. You're walking in the Spirit of God and you're doing what Jesus did. But if you don't walk in the Spirit, full of the Spirit, you're just going to fail. Ain't nobody. I don't know about you, but I don't need to hear another sermon. I don't need to hear another sermon. I like sermons. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. But I don't need to hear another sermon. I want to live the sermons. I want to be people of God's Word. I don't want to just hear God's Word, sit in a pew, and rot. You are not called to that. This does not make you a Christian. This don't make me a Christian. It's what I do by the power of the Holy Spirit and listening to His voice and walking out each and every day of what God says to do and sacrificing my life, laying on my cross, picking it up every day and following Jesus. That's a Christian. If you look just like the rest of the world, you are part of the rest of the world. I'm going to say it. I know some other people won't say it, but that's what God's Word says. You don't got to live like that, church. You do not have to live like that. You don't have to think like that. People in the house today who are sick, chronic illness, Jesus wants to meet you today. He wants to set you free. He is the healer. See, the physician said something, right? He gave you some facts, but the truth is, by Jesus' stripes, you are healed. You got to walk in that healing. God wants to heal you and set you free. He does. Now, I don't always understand why some people are healed and some aren't. I mean, we're all going to die unless Jesus comes back. This is a broken body. That's just the fact. We live in a broken world with broken bodies. Don't expect yourself to walk around in a bubble and never get hurt. That ain't going to happen. But be obedient to God's word, and it says pray for the sick. Lay hands on the sick that they shall recover. You are called to be obedient, not always understand what's going to happen. Well, you'll never see a healing in your life if you never lay hands on the sick and pray for recovery. Oh, man, I don't know why I'm sick. Well, have you prayed? Quit running to the medicine cabinet. Get on your knees first before you go. I'm thankful for modern medicine. I'm thankful for that. We need it. God's given us great minds for those things. But God is our first source, not our second or third or last. Amen. That was free. I don't even know what I'm saying right here. I want to show you one more thing before I ask for God to move in the house in a supernatural way. So 2 chapters after Pentecost happened, Peter and John were preaching in the streets at night. We need some more street preachers. Right? You know, I used to make fun of Target all the time. There's ministry in every aisle. Man, Target needs it more than Walmart. We need it from the top down. Come on now. Target's a hot mess. Are you kidding me? You want some devil person to design all this stuff and we're going to go and buy it? I'm so thankful for the boycotts because Target got the message. We don't put up with that stuff. You can have whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. But the moment you say that wrong is right and I need to stand behind that, it's the moment you ain't getting my money. Right? It's true. You got to love everybody. Don't judge them for what they're going through. But when you tell me that sin is actually the way that I should be going, that's wrong. You can choose your way, but I I and my house, we will choose and we will follow the Lord. Okay? I don't want to move past this spot real quick, but don't you walk in with a robe on. Don't you be judging, church. Don't you be judging. Listen, I have a heart for what is going on in our world. I've been praying and contending that God... See, so many people are lost because they don't know their identity in Christ. They're searching sexually. They're changing their identity. Their identity in that whole hot mess has happened because they don't know who they are in Jesus. But that ain't only them. All of us are like that. Right? If you're searching homosexuality or heterosexuals, it don't even matter. If you're searching the things of this world and they're not of God, you are lost and you need the identity in Jesus. Don't you put on your robe. God is the judge. Preach the gospel. Love them. But you know what? When they tell you that wrong is right, then you stand up and say, man, that's whack. I ain't believing you. You can believe what you want, but don't you make me try to believe what you want. But I'm here if you want to know the truth. Okay? Amen? Okay. So there's these street preachers. It's both Peter and John. And while they're out preaching, some religious leaders confront them. They confront them to the point that they arrest them. That's coming to America if things don't change. The next day, these two men were brought before the... So they went to jail. Then the next morning, these two men are now brought before the religious council, and this happened. Acts chapter 4, 7 through 13. They brought these two disciples and demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people. Are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Verse 10. Let me clearly state to all y'all and the other people. He's from the south. And from all the other people of Israel. That he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. The man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in scriptures where it says, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. Verse 12, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven which we must be saved. Verse 13, the members of the council were amazed. Right? He's like, oh, you just got served, right? The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. And they could not... And all they could see was these ordinary men with no special training in scriptures. And I love this verse, right? The end of this verse. They also recognized, church, them as men who had been with Jesus. So after this meeting, I mean, Peter and John, they weren't even mics, and they're dropping mics all over the place. After this meeting... After being threatened, but not being threatened by the threats of the religious leaders, Peter and John went back to the other believers, like they came back to a church here, told them what happened, how they healed a man who was crippled, how they preached with boldness and spoke up for God after being arrested. The believers celebrated together, and they spoke the word of God together, and they prayed together, and then this happened in Acts 4:31. You go down a little bit further. After this prayer, the meeting place shook. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then what happened? Then they preached the word of God with boldness. What I'm saying here, church, is this. We need the Spirit of God to fill us so we can be Spirit-led. We need to be bold believers of Jesus, and you cannot do that without the Holy Spirit. That is why Jesus said, go and wait. For I am going to ascend at the right hand of my Father, and the promise from on high, the promise of power from heaven will be here. Wait for it. And wait for it. Once you have it, then go into the world and preach the good news. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make disciples. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. After you're filled with the Spirit of God. Church, you got to be bold in what you got to do. Let me tell you, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit before we ask God to fill us this morning? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an experience in which a believer gives control of themselves to the Holy Spirit. Although it's not in a way that you lose your identity or your autonomy. It's an invitation. It's a filling. It is not an overtaking or a possession. That's demonic. If you've ever been baptized in water, you recognize that it's not sprinkling on the head as a baby. That's not biblical. It's an immersion. It's an immersion. That's the word that they use. You are immersed. You are satiated is the word. Satiated. Completely full. That's why you go down in the water and you come back up. It's the same thing with the Spirit of God. You are satiated with the power of God. You are filled. You are covered in His presence. And through this experience, you'll come to know God in a more intimate way. You'll be energized to grow spiritually. You'll have a zeal to witness like you've never known before, with the boldness and the power from heaven. When people get filled with the Spirit, many people start speaking in a heavenly language. They speak in other tongues. That's what the Bible tells us. Others prophesy, right? They get filled and they start speaking to what's going on in their family, what's going on in their finances, what's going on in their health, what's going on with their family and their surrounding area, what's going on with the people they work with. It's going on. And they start prophesying, speaking to things. As they should be, not as they are. Some feel fire or electricity. One time I got prayed for, and this guy came up and just touched me with his finger. And I was like, man, he was just shocking me. I felt like electricity up and down my life. My whole entire body and my life was changed. I remember that was wild. It was in Arkansas. And I was standing in front of a whole bunch of people, and I'm just like, right? And he's just shocking me. And he's probably like, watch this. Woo! Boom! I mean, it was crazy. God was touching me, and I've been there. Some people, they fall down. You say, oh, that's fake. No, they get so overwhelmed by God's presence. They cannot stand. If you don't believe that, Jesus in the garden, when they came to arrest him, he says, I am. All of the legion of the army that came all fell out. And they didn't even believe. You think it's fake. Sometimes it's fake. Some people just push. And all right, one leg, one arm, close your eyes, count to 10 and look up, and then they push them over. That's fake, man. That's ridiculous. But I've been there when it's real. And when it's real, it's real. Some others, when they get filled with this baptism of the Holy Spirit, they feel a freedom and a peace that they have never felt before. God just unloads your baggage. You get up and you're like, oh. Most of the time I've ever went out, which has just been a few times, I went out. People are like, what did God say? What did God do? I was like, nothing. I felt like you remember when you go to like the dentist or something, or you go somewhere and you have to get like x-rays and they put this lead blanket on you? And it kind of hurts but feels good, right? You're like sitting there like, I could get up, but I kind of don't want to get up. It's like, I don't know, give me a pillow and a jewel rag. Right? That's what I feel like sometimes when I get down in God's presence and He puts me out and he says, stay here, son. I need to unload some of your baggage. You got way too much to carry. You have not unloaded this like you're supposed to. And it feels like a lead blanket on me. And I try to get up and I can't. Try to get up and I can't. And it just feels, for me, it felt like a lead blanket. I'm like, okay, I'll just stay down. Get me a jewel rag and a pillow, Lord. Right? There's a lot of things that happen, but here's the one thing that always happens. Every person feels the presence of God. They get filled and flooded with the Holy Spirit. So how do you receive the Holy Spirit? The Bible teaches us, number one, you yield to this gift by faith. You got to yield. You can't have anything from God's kingdom unless you yield. Number two, you have to ask for this gift by faith. It's a gift, just like salvation. You have to ask the Father for it. Fill me, God, to overflowing with your presence. I believe your word is true. And number three is laying on of hands. Not always does this need to happen, but it is a common practice we see in the Bible. Even in Acts chapter 19, verse 6, it says, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues, and they prophesied. We're all called, church, to do what Jesus did. We're called to contend for the miraculous, but we cannot contend for the miraculous without the power of the Holy Spirit. Before I finish, I want to read you a couple verses If you want to go and do the things that God's called you to, if you want to do the things that God has commissioned you to do, you got to do it by the leading and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:25 says this, since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Some of y'all jump in Christianity and you jump out of Christianity, into church mode and out of church mode. You are two different people all the time, but Jesus and God's word tells us you cannot live that way. You are called to live by the Spirit of God in every part of your life. And you cannot do that unless you're filled with the Spirit of God. Before I finish, I want to ask you a question that Paul asked a long time ago to several believers. In Acts 19, verses 1 and 2, he said, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the inner regions until he reached Ephesus. On the coast, where he found several believers, and he said this, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Believers in here today, did you or have you received the Holy Spirit when you believed? If you have not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're going to provide an opportunity here in just one moment to ask God for this great gift to fill you with his presence like it happened 2,000 years ago. And if you have received the baptism from heaven, but you want a fresh infilling, you want to be filled again, the Bible teaches us in the New Testament that over and over again, you see people getting filled again. Even the disciples got filled again after the 120 in the upper room when they were there. If you want to get filled again, afresh and filling, I'm going to ask you to come up here in just a moment as well. Church, will you stand with me? Worship team, can you come? I want to make it clear again this morning, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is essential and vital to our mission in Christ. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit is the power to do something outside of yourself. If you want to do what Jesus did, you have to be filled and led by the Spirit of God. Jesus was. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to ask for you to come up. Now, I have this thing up here. This is anointing oil. There's nothing real special about it other than this. Whenever you put this on people, it's just a representation of God's Spirit, right? And we read in God's Word oftentimes that this is a representation of His Spirit. So I'm going to put it on a couple of my fingers, and I want to just walk up to you, and I'm just going to put my finger, my hand on you, on your hands, on your head, or whatever I feel like God is doing, and I'm just going to ask him to fill you. There's nothing special about me other than I want to be obedient to what God says in his word. That oftentimes the apostles or the religious leaders of the church of the day would lay hands on people and they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. One thing I want to ask you to do, if God is filling you, let it happen. Don't get in your head. Your head's going to go, oh, this is weird, this is weird, this is weird. And let me tell you right now, it is so weird. But it is biblically correct. I could teach another hour on telling you why it is correct. But you have to be yielded. Say, God, I want this gift. Why don't you repeat after me if you want this gift? Say, God, I want your gift of the Holy Spirit. Will you fill me here in just a moment or even right now? Lord Jesus, I thank you for this wonderful time together. Thank you for Pentecost. Father in heaven, I thank you that you sent the Spirit of the living God to us. And right here in a moment, I'm going to call people to come up to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I pray right now, Spirit of the living God, may you fill people in an incredible way, in a personal way. There are so many people that want to be filled with your Spirit to do what you've called them to do. They want to be like Jesus. They want to do what Jesus did. And they want to fulfill what the Bible says for us to do. So I pray as you fill them, Give them a greater degree of your manifest presence this morning. If they've never been filled, fill them for the first time. If they've been filled before, fill them again, God. Over to overflowing. This world needs the church, and we need the power and the presence of the Almighty God. So come now, like fire in the house of God. Come now like fire and fill us. Purify us in a supernatural way. Hallelujah. May you be glorified, God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, come on up if you haven't already. Yep. And if you want it again, be filled again, come on up. Hallelujah. Hey, hey. Come on now. Come on. Those who are ready. Those who are ready will get what they want. Come on. Brent, lead us as I just lay hands and pray. Come on now. Fire God, come right now. Fill her in a new and supernatural way. Thank you for what you've done, but she wants more. She got to have more right now. Fill her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet right now. Powerful presence of the Almighty. Fill her in a supernatural way.